We turn our attention for a moment to Libya, where pro-Gaddafi forces escalated a major offensive against rebels there. Wall Street Journal reporter Charles Levinson joins us now from Libya. Hello. Welcome back to our show.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
And you're outside of Ras Lanuf. Where is that?
It's where the front line is. It's sort of the front line between eastern and western Libya. It's about 100, 200 kilometers east of Sirte, which is Gaddafi's stronghold city, where his tribe is based. It's the city that needs to be overcome if there's any hope of the rebels ever getting to Tripoli.
How much of this is a tribal war?
It's hard to know. It's not the primary driving factor in the conflict, but it is certainly a factor in the conflict. It's one prism through which you can read the conflict and read the dynamics involved. It's playing a role. Both sides are trying to use the tribes or certain tribes to their advantage. They're a means of mustering manpower, but it's. At its root, it's not a tribal grudge. It really is a popular uprising element that spans nearly all the Libyan Libyan tribes.
So you've been at the front today. Can you tell us what the fighting is like?
It's utter chaos. It's hundreds, thousands, I guess, of these volunteers who have come up in groups of, four or five of their friends, or maybe we talked to one family, a father, his son, brothers, uncles, who are all sort of rolled up together. And they have some rockets, machine guns, AK-47, some heavier machine guns, some anti-aircraft guns, but fairly light weapons. And they're all sort of operating independently. And they come and they don't have off-road vehicles, most of them. So they all drive on the main road until they can not go any further because Gaddafi's forces are up ahead. And then Gaddafi's forces come and bomb them from the sky with tank shells. They're saying from boats offshore, though we didn't see that ourselves. And there's sort of this regular but sporadic shelling and bombing that sends everybody scattering and running away. And then once that intensifies to a certain point, basically everybody piles in their cars and goes charging down the road, and that's sort of it for the day. And you're not really clear, what actually happened and what was accomplished, if anything. You don't actually see, at least we didn't get a chance to actually see any of the Gaddafi forces. They were quite a ways ahead. And all these rebel fighters who are, have a lot of enthusiasm and are very motivated to fight, but they don't know what to do. There's no one to shoot their weapons at because everything that's coming at them is being fired from far away.
Yesterday, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say yesterday, James Clapper, the director of U.S. intelligence, said that Gaddafi is unlikely to be pushed from power by rebels because his forces have so much superior firepower. But I've been wondering about what happens after Gaddafi wins. What does he win if he's lost so much of the support of his people and is considered an international pariah? Does Libyan oil trump all other concerns?
Well, it's absolutely a good point. And it's also not clear that Gaddafi is going to win necessarily. I mean, he's not making all that much progress either. He's not having much difficulty holding the rebels off, but he's not making fast progress. He doesn't appear to have a very motivated fighting force. And, while it might be one thing to hold a few thousand, this ragtag force of a few thousand at bay with artillery and planes, that's different than marching back to the east and retaking these cities that he was driven out of. And also, I think you can expect these rebels to put up a much, much, much bigger fight if he actually tries to come back into their cities as opposed to just taking some, garrison oil towns in the middle of the desert.
President Obama said today that Clapper was making a hard-headed assessment of Gaddafi's military capabilities, but he wasn't stating policy, and that we are tightening the noose around Gaddafi. But who's supplying the rebel forces with their weapons? We are not. And the West has resisted imposing a no-fly zone. So what is really being done to support the rebels?
Well, in terms of actually providing them weapons, it doesn't appear all that much. I mean, the rebels have gotten their weapons by seizing and looting Libyan army bases that were left, you know, that were abandoned by the army that retreated when the uprising first began. And there was quite a bit of heavy weapons left that the rebels were able to get their hands on. So that's what's keeping them armed right now.
Charles,
you know,
we've got to leave it there, unfortunately. Charles Levinson is with the Wall Street Journal. He's on the front line. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.